Keep heifers, sell heifers, cow herd retention, consumer demand. We cover it all. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart.
And I'm Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck.
A big thank you goes out to our partners, the American Gelvy Association, Axiota Animal Health, bringing us Multimin and Lactopro, Birch Creek Angus, home of the four-year guarantee on all bulls, Circle F Farm, sales coming up October 10th and 11th, Imogene Ingredients, bringing us Pharmatan, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, EquineMarket.com, AuctionTime.com, Medora Boot and Western Wear, Moose Creek Red Angus, their dispersal sale coming up December 22nd and 23rd, RanchChannel.com, RFD TV, Superior Livestock Productions and Superior Livestock Auctions, the Tri-State Livestock News, Top Dollar Angus, Transova Genetics, Westway Feed Products, Wrangler, Wolf Cattle, and this fine radio station.
Cattle Battle.
The big talk has been USDA's plan to rebuild the beef herd. Lots of speculation out there, even speculated dollar amounts that could go back to producers. The USDA is developing a plan to rebuild the nation's historically low beef cattle herd, but will not produce direct payments to producers. That according to Secretary Brooke Rollins. Rollins said, "We have no current plans to offer any payment to beef producers. The government getting involved can completely distort the markets. No plan is even under consideration to insert ourselves through payments into the beef cattle industry," unquote. Instead, USDA strategy will emphasize expanding access to working lands and developing risk mitigation tools. Rollins said more details will be released mid-October. But where exactly are we in our current cattle cycle? Let's first take a look at keeping heifers versus selling heifers and other options and alternatives. Joining us today is St. Ange Livestock owner-operator and president of the United States Cattlemen's Association, Justin Tupper. Justin, let's start by taking a quick snapshot of where we are currently related to keeping those heifers versus selling them and taking the cash.
Well, I definitely think that we've started to save back some heifers. I don't think in any way, shape, or form like it was in 14 to 15, but I think some guys are starting to, in these better end heifers, there's definitely lots of talk about it, you know, but they're worth so much as a feeder that I think it's kept it kind of under hat just a bit. So I don't know that we're in a huge rebuild mode, but I think we are starting to retain some heifers, and we'll see that in the coming year. But I don't think it's going to be an overwhelming thing.
We really haven't seen the bred heifer market move for our sale barns yet. Normally that's a little bit later on in the fall, even get towards Thanksgiving and Christmas, when traditionally we see those bigger runs. So as you're talking to your guys out there, are they looking to sell a lot of those females? And then on the flip side, those guys that sold heifers, are they looking to buy a lot of those females? So where are kind of your guys? What's the gauge and the feeling out there from them?
Well, kind of twofold. I think definitely there is a lot of talk about wanting to buy some 3-year-olds, especially. You know, I call it gray-haired syndrome in our part of the world. A lot of guys still don't want to calve heifers, even with the genetics we have. You know, it does take a little more labor and time, and that's what's kind of been tough. A lot of guys don't want to do that heifer calving, and then they'll give a lot more for a 3-year-old if you can find them. And that's kind of been a thing that's been pretty scarce, and I think it'll be fairly scarce again this year. I don't know that we're going to see a ton of young cows for sale. There'll be some dispersions and some guys that were, you know, on the verge, ready to maybe cash in. And this is the 401k for the older generation is their cow herd. So there might be some of that, but I don't think it's going to be in huge, huge numbers because they're worth so much. Why would you get rid of the factory today when they're worth more than we've ever seen before, you know?
And that's the dangerous part where we're at is, and I'm sure your barn, like every barn that has been around this summer, has broke, I'm sure, records at your barn where, my gosh, 5 weights, we never thought we'd sell them for this, and 6 weights and 7 weights and bred females. So it's a difficult position for all of us, because when you can take something, turn it into cash and pay down debt, and you've heard me talk about that many times, that's just a solid strategy. But it's what are we going to do next year, and what are we going to do the year after that?
Without a doubt. And I think that's where the position is going to be as you look at your plans. And I think in our part of the world, Western South Dakota, Eastern Montana, Eastern Wyoming, we've had a pretty good summer. So the feed base is, you know, as good as we see it. A lot of these guys always have to buy feed to supplement some, but it's been decent. So I would think with the prices they are, and we know how well the rancher loves to pay the government. I think that's going to be another thing as they get these calves sold. There's going to be some of them say, you know, maybe we're going to have to buy some cows or turn some back, or we're going to have to pay the government. And I don't think they're going to want to have to do that.
Do you ever remember a time, Justin, when we were talking selling calves and what we sold them for and bred heifers and these three-year-olds like you were talking about? Did you ever think we'd be talking about prices like this?
You know, no question. And I've been a broken record on my radio stations about, well, we hit a new high, or, well, I've never seen that before. And it really is. And it's really unprecedented in anybody my lifetime or anybody even older generation you talk to that they thought we could get good, but nobody thought we could get to these levels. And hopefully we can sustain at least at some point here that, you know, our input costs have not changed, as you note, very often. So I just think we need some sustainability here, and hopefully we can find a happy medium.
So do you think that we're going to have some sustainability going forward through into 2026? I know that's a dangerous question to ask, and everybody does, and you feel that question every single week, but I'm going to ask it to you as well.
I really think that if the market works on sheer fundamentals, which we know it does not always. If it works on sheer fundamentals, 2026 should be tremendous. Because, you know, even if we retain some of these heifer calves this year, as you know, we're 2 years away from anything that we're going to see as far as turning calves back into this deal. So I think it could be good. And I think you and I have talked about the old adage before. I mean, $5 hamburger in today's day and age, I don't know, is that high. I'm hoping that we've found a different plateau and the safest, best protein on the planet, beef, is still what the consumer wants, and we got to make sure we keep it that way.
And I think that the consumer is very aware of that right now, and they're willing to pay a premium. And I shouldn't say premium. Let me back that up. I'm going to say they're willing to pay what the market will sustain for those prices of said protein, because they're more conscious about what they're eating. You know, you and I have talked a lot about alternative meats over the years, a lot. We've danced with that topic. You know, people are being more health conscious. Look at you and I. Even you and I are at the age where, oh, we need to start going for a walk every morning, don't we, Justin? And I mean, those types of things that even you and I are starting to change, and we're starting to look at that. So I think that this is going to be the norm. I think that in terms of prices at the retail counter, I'm saying that this is the norm. We've been proving it, that the consumer is willing to pay said prices because they want to know exactly what they're getting.
Well, and I think the other part of that is I think the consumer is willing to spend their dollar differently. I think what you said is 100% true. But back in the day, you know, if my grandparents knew you'd have paid $3 for water, or that you'd give $7 for a cup of coffee in the morning, I mean, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I think the way that the consumer today spends their dollar is just quite different. And a lot of the old adages don't apply. And I think that's been a little bit hard. I think that even the Packers and everybody's been surprised at with the hike in beef prices, that consumption has stayed tremendous, and we've been able to continue to move the meat. So hopefully we can keep that moving and that momentum going. And as long as the economy stays good, I look for 26 to be an awful good year.
When we come back from the break, Justin and I take a look at USDA's plans to rebuild the beef herd and rebuilding the herd in general. The Ranch It Up Radio Show. We'll be right back.
RanchChannel.com, bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com.
A 4-year guarantee on breeding bulls? Absolutely. At Birch Creek Angus, we believe if we can't stand 100% behind our bulls, neither should you. That's why we proudly offer a 4-year guarantee on every bull sold. Join the Birch Creek Angus crew Thursday, October 30th at the JBRM Ranch, Ruby Valley, Nevada, selling 80 bulls and 200 commercial heifers. Broadcast live on CCI.live. Catalog videos and sale information available at RanchChannel.com and BirchCreekAngus.com. Birch Creek Creek Angus, home of the 4-year guarantee on breeding bulls.
LivestockMarket.com offers all the tools you need for a successful production sale. The easy-to-use online platform makes it super easy to take bids from anywhere in the world. Buyers can place pre-bids and real-time bids, browse your sales catalog, and watch your sale broadcast live. LivestockMarket.com is also the ideal platform for private treaty sales and timed online-only auctions. There's no easier way to find buyers for cattle, horses, sheep, and hay. Sell on your terms today with LivestockMarket.com. Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show, the most information packed into a 30-minute program that you can find at your All Things Ranching Newscast, and so glad to be hanging out with you. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, rants, it doesn't matter. You can call or text. That phone number is 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com, and prowling around social media at Ranch It Up Show. Now, we are back with Justin Tupper, owner-operator of St. Ange Livestock in St. Ange, South Dakota, and president of the United States Cattlemen's Association. Justin, let's dance with cowherd retention, the lowest number since 1915, if I'm not mistaken. And USDA a couple weeks ago released a statement about plans to rebuild the cowherd. Again, let me reiterate what I said earlier. The USDA is developing a plan to rebuild the nation's historically low beef cattle herd, but will not produce direct payments to producers. Well, Justin, my phone, email, you name it, was blowing up with speculation, thoughts, opinions, you name it, some comments that we can't even say on air.
Well, yours and my phone both, and thank goodness Secretary Rollins said that is not going to be the case. Yep. I think the fastest way to totally destroy this market is get an intervention of some sort like that, where we're throwing money at a market. Is the signals are telling us 100% that it is a good time to keep these heifers. We're at record high prices. There's no better signal than that to say maybe we ought to keep a few of these heifers and try to sell a few more calves in the coming years. And we're one of the last true free marketplaces in the world.
Yep.
Is the cattle market. And I think let it work the way it's supposed to work. Let's do the things. If we're going to work on something, let's make sure that the big four packers, when this comes back and we have some cattle, don't have the complete control that they had over us in the past. And that these imports that we're seeing that are extremely high, as high as we've ever seen them, that when we get our cattle numbers back, that they don't use that against us. So those are the places that I would love to see the government work. I don't think any of the producers that I work with, we don't want a government handout. We want the market to work, and I think it'll do that if we stay out of it. Where we see a lot of those cow numbers is in the southern states, those small herds, and a lot of those guys sold out. It wasn't profitable, and maybe with the money the way it is, and as they get moisture back in Missouri and some of those places where, you know, we're not talking cow herds of 100, they're 25 to 50 head, but a lot of them. I think that's where we're going to have to see it build back. I would think that history would tell us that we probably will build it back to some degree. Maybe we can hold these levels differently. I'm not sure. It'd be all speculation, but I think it is different this time. I don't think it's like we can just jump back in and a bunch of heifers get kept and the cow numbers just shoot up. I'm not sure we're there, but I think we've got a chance here to sustain something as long as we work on the factors that really matter. And I think heifer retention will happen as it's supposed to, but I think we got to be really careful with how many of these imports we're getting from these other countries and the safety factors that come with that. And so I think those are the places that we need to really work, and that's what we're going to be doing at U.S. Cattlemen.
Bringing cow numbers back to where we were is a double-edged sword. One side, yes, to keep imports down and maintaining the demand domestically. The other is the assumption that if cow numbers go up, prices go down. So tough question. Do we need to bring these cow numbers back to where they were?
You know, we make these cattle a lot bigger, as you well know. I mean, just even in the last few years, we made them bigger and then we made them bigger again. And now we've made them bigger again because pounds make dollars. So a 1700 pound critter to go to slaughter is not unheard of. And probably less than 10 to 15 years ago, you'd have got a huge deduction on those heavy carcasses just because they were trying to slow the production. So do we need to go back to the numbers we had before? Probably not completely, but we do need to get the United States herd back and productive and profitable. And I think that's the whole thing about whether we'll, if it stays profitable, we'll see more people build back and try to put some cows back into production. But it's got to stay profitable. And 1 year is not something that's going to tell these guys that have been in this for a long time, yourself and all the people we deal with, that we're back and it's going to stay that good. So I think we need profitability to stay here if we want that to happen.
We are in a completely different day and age with the amount of technology and data available. Let's just look at the genomic side alone. More and more producers are genomically testing their commercial cow herds to find out exactly what their cow herd is, the factory, and finding out what they need for bull power, very specific bull power. So I think this is all about efficiency. Producers are seeing this information and realizing that they can hit their production goals with less cow but more efficiency. So I'm not sure that trying to rebuild too quickly is the correct answer.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the one thing to take that a step further, that I think that's great, and the advancements have been tremendous. And man, if you want to manage your herd, you can do some unbelievable things. And pounds make dollars today. If you can put 50 pounds on your calves, do easy math times $4 a pound, mm-hmm. that's $200. You
right.
can do a lot of things. I think the one thing that has not been factored in there that I think will cycle in here soon is environment. So a lot of those things are great, but a lot of the reasons that we have certain types of cows in certain regions is the environment. And we can build that perfect product that in a perfect setting, in a perfect world, and perfect feed, all does great. But where I live here, you have to factor the environment, whether that be the colder weather, whether that be droughts, whether that be what it is, then that also needs to factor in. And I do think that's something that you can take that genetic factor too far and take the environmental part of it out, and,
sure.
and then you can lose some things too. So I think there's a great advancements there, but I think we've seen it in our part of the world, and a lot of these older ranchers, the reason they keep some of those same genetics is because they work where they live.
Very good point, Justin. So let's just land the plane here. When times are tough, everyone is really watching their bottom line and costs and inputs and marketing. You and I have talked many times about this subject. But now, more than ever, and this is just my opinion, producers need to look at the future, 2026, 27, 2030. It's an exciting time to bring the trucks and trailers to your barn and sell calves, but it's also a very dangerous time where we could potentially just be thinking about today and how exciting these prices are today.
No doubt about it. And I think it's easy to get complacent when it's this good, the market's where it is. And I think you're spot on that we have to make sure that we're doing all our due diligence, whether that be in your long-term planning, whether that be in price protection, might mm-hmm. be the most important thing you can do when the markets are like this, is making sure that you can at least price protect to some degree. And even guys that have never done it before, I think this is a time when it's important to look at that, whether it be LRPs or the straight up board, because there is so much can be lost so quickly when we're at these levels, and you just can't stub your toe when it's this high.
Justin Tupper, always good to have you on the program and talk the cow stuff. Now, your thoughts on cow herd retention. Share them with us by calling 707-726-2420. That's 707-RANCH20. If you don't want your comments heard on the air, no problem. Just let us know that. But yes, we'd like to hear from you nonetheless. And our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com. Now, the boss lady says it's time to take a break. So we will be back with more of the Ranch It Up Radio Show right after this.
The best way to raise beef on pasture, on crop residue, or in a dry lot, it's Westway Feed Products. Westway liquid supplements support increased forage utilization, efficiency, convenience, and sustainability. Find your nearest rep by calling 800-800-7517 or head to westwayfeed.com on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok.
Circle F Farms invites you to Baxley, Georgia, October 10th and 11th for the 2025 annual production sale. Friday, October 10th, elite registered Brahman heifers and 300-plus top-quality commercial F1 heifers. Saturday, October 11th, bulls, Brahman, Brangus, Ultra Black, Charlet, Red Angus, Angus, and F1s. Backed by proven genetics, Circle F cattle are built for performance, profitability, and your future. Sale info, videos, and online bidding details at ranchchannel.com and circlefarms.com. Circle F Farms, one of the largest Brahman herds in the Southeast.
For years now, I've been telling you all about Pharmatan from Imogen Ingredients. Well, it's time to make the change and add Pharmatan to your cow's diet, to your calves' diet. Get that boost in health and increase feed efficiency. It all starts with nutrition, so add Pharmatan. Mark your calendars for Saturday, November 22nd, Ideal, South Dakota, for the 4th annual Jorgensen Land and Cattle Angus Motherlode Sale. For the first time ever, the Motherlode Sale features select bulls alongside a powerful lineup of maternally focused Angus females and backed by 10-plus generations of proven maternal ancestors spanning over 60 years of disciplined selection. No fads, no trends, no single trait selection, just balanced, profitable cattle built to last. Sale details at ranchchannel.com and jorgensenfarms.com. The Motherlode Sale, the source of maternal Angus genetics.
Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show. In the news, U.S. exporters are continuing to feel the sting of China failing to restore import permits for U.S. beef processing plants since March, within weeks of the Trump administration launching tariffs on Chinese goods. Australia's beef industry has been a major beneficiary of the trade war fallout. Exporters down under have essentially doubled monthly beef shipments to China in recent months compared to levels in 2024. Negotiations between Washington and Beijing to address the trade tensions could open the door for the beef plant permits to be issued, though any return to previous export levels is expected to take time. Meanwhile, Brazil now exports the most beef to China, posting a 49% gain in the value of shipments exports between January and August of 2025, compared with the results in the same period last year. Nearly half of all Brazilian beef exports this year are going to China, which has been the leading destination for its beef since 2009, according to the USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service. Now we head to Washington, where several groups of cattle producers could be seen walking the halls of Congress and the U.S. Department of Agriculture in recent weeks. They were detailing some of the ways government prevents cattle producers from being profitable and identifying solutions that could help. Jack Payne, owner of the Nevada Livestock Marketing, was one of five ranchers from western states to meet with U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins to describe the drastically diminished cattle numbers on federal lands. Payne said that grazing is needed on rangelands to maintain plant and soil health, reduce fire danger, and provide economic stability to communities. Secretary Rollins posted on X September 6, 2025, "Earlier this week, I sat down with some of the greatest Americans I have ever met, multi-generational Western ranchers who put it plain and simple. Washington has been working against them, not for them. Unfortunately, federal land ranchers are facing delays in thousands of grazing permits and historic lack of coordination across USDA and the Department of the Interior who manage these lands." In addition, independent cattle producers from eight states traveled to Washington, D.C. as part of RCAF USA's fly-in, delivering a clear message. Food security is national security, and the prosperity of America's ranching families must be central to America First policymaking. Meeting discussions focused on pressing lawmakers to reinstate mandatory country of origin labeling, MCOOL, for beef, an initiative RCAF USA seeks to include in the Farm Bill through its Label Our Beef campaign. The group also discussed checkoff program reform, mandatory electronic ID ear tags, competition, and concerns about rising consumer beef prices. Additionally, in response to the ongoing threat from the New World screwworm, RCAF USA urged leaders to keep America's herd safe by keeping the border closed and rejecting calls to relax U.S.-Mexico cattle trade. RCAF USA Marketing Director Jaden Moreland said, "This fly-in showed the heart of independent ranchers and the backbone of rural America in a place that needs reminding."
Do you ranch in an area where weather can be extreme? I think we all do in some form or fashion. Hey, hey, I'm Shay Warner, and I host the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. Jim Strickland and I visited about how he uses Vence's virtual fence technology to keep cattle safe during extreme weather. Here's a little bit of our conversation.
We are ranchers in Florida. A lot of us go through this, tremendous amount. I want those cattle to be able to walk or swim to go to high ground. I don't want them to be caught in a pasture where they get hung up on fences. So we open every gate. At that time, I can see where my cattle are. I can also install, in case I need to, a totally different fence around those cattle. And I can keep them from going to my perimeter fences. So now the safety of the public comes in, that I know where my cattle are. I know where 5 herds of cattle are scattered out over 7,000 acres, which is really strung out. That's the first thing I do. I can also then install a perimeter fence before I go look. I assure you, as soon as my people are good, my family's good, the first thing we do is click on Vince. After a hurricane.
Listen to the full story by searching for Casual Cattle Conversations on your favorite podcast player. Happy ranching, folks.
And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Justin Tupper with the U.S. Cattlemen's Association and St. Ange Livestock, Shay Warner with Casual Cattle Conversations, and the boss lady, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck.
Crew, so glad you're all with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com, or you can call us and text us 24/7 at 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us next week where it's always Tigger and Beck approved.
Stay ranchy and ranch it up.